Amen. Thank you very much. You can be seated. Can we open our Bibles in the book of Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2, we are going to read from verse 1 to 14. Luke chapter 2 from verse 1 to 14. The Bible says, in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to his town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, there came a time for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in a cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angels of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with great praising, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." That's the word of God. Amen. Now, I'm sure that we have read this text several times, and I'm sure that every Christmas you hear a version of this story. We know that Luke is the one who wrote this book. He was not a disciple of Jesus. He was a physician, but he came to know and accept Jesus, and he started talking to other people about Jesus. So he had this noble person, this influential person called Theophilus, that he was discipling, and he decided to write to him to explain what happened during the life of Jesus. So the book of Luke, what we call the Gospel of Luke, is actually a letter that Luke is writing to Theophilus. It is the same with the book of Acts, Acts of Apostles. It's also a letter written to the same person. So if you take the book of Luke, you put next to it the book of Acts, you have the two letters. If you would say letter to Theophilus, it would be 1 and 2. So both of them were written to the same person. And Luke, when he starts writing his book, the Gospel of Luke, he says to Theophilus, "I have done a research about all that happened during the life of Jesus, and I have decided to write down this." So the book of Luke, some theologians, most theologians I should say, consider it to be the most accurate account of the life of Jesus, because first, Luke was an independent person, and he decided to research to verify the information and then put it in writing. And he was not writing to us. He was not writing the Bible. He was just writing information to pass on to someone. Do you find the nuance? There's a great nuance there. When you are writing something to influence people, there is a way you write. But when you are writing to pass on information, there is also the way you write. So Luke here is not writing the Bible, but is just putting down what happened. This happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And that's our book of Luke. So we can trust that this book of Luke is as close to exactly what happened during the life of Jesus. And that's why you see, he starts by saying, in those days, Caesar Augustus, he gives a historical reference that this happened, and you can verify because the person who was the king was so and so. So you can go, we can go back in Gentiles' writing and scriptures, and we are able to verify that at that time, there was an emperor called Caesar Augustus. Are you with me? Let me give you an example. It's like when the volcano erupted in Goma. It was in 2002. Who was the president of Congo? Don't tell me you don't know. Who was the president of Congo when the volcano erupted? 2022. It's Kabila. The son or the father? Okay, great. We are all on the same page. Now, Luke is writing like saying, in that time, Kabila was the president in the city of Goma on the 17th of January, this and this happened. And that's how he starts this part when he's talking about the birth of Jesus. He's saying, in those days, there was, this person was a king, and he gives a reference to another king of Syria so that you can double check. So we can trust this text because it has historical roots. And he continues by saying that there was a census and Joseph had to move with Mary to go and register. And we can also double check to find at that time there was also a census. I would like to explain and then we'll learn three things, okay? Can we go together? I'll just give the explanation, then we'll draw three lessons very quickly. And then he continues saying that Joseph, who was from Galilee, decided to take Mary and they went down to Bethlehem. And while they were there, you know, labor started and Jesus was born. And if you read the text in Matthew chapter 1 and 2, you will find that there was no place for them. In the inns and the hotels and in the guest houses, they have no place. They had to find a manger, some just place where they could put the baby. Now, there are two explanations why they may not have been a place for them. I don't know whether you thought about them. One explanation why there was no place for them can be that all the inns were full. That there was no place because all the places have been taken out, because people are traveling from across the known Israel and Judea to come to Bethlehem, and then they rent all the inns and then there are no place. That's explanation number one. Explanation number two, it is possible that there was space, but they had no money to pay. Hello? Have you ever considered that? Because the way Joseph and Mary are described, they were not very rich. So it is possible that there was a place, but they had no money and have to find a free place where they will not pay anything. It's like you going to Serena Hotel and you get there and you're like, I want a room. And they tell you one room is $300. And you decide, no, there are no rooms here. You go back. It may be that there are rooms, but you do not have the money to stay there. So that also gives you a little bit of the context in which Jesus was born. He was born in the most humble circumstances that could exist. Imagine being born and there are cows, there are sheep, there are urines, there are all this smell, cow dung smelling. Imagine all that. And that's where the creator of the universe, who made everything that exists, and the Bible says that silver and gold belongs to him, he decides to be born in such a destitute place. Explanation number three, and then we draw our three conclusions. The Bible says, now in that same day, imagine a manger. They've tried to make something that resembled that, but this is way beautiful. It was not like that. And there were no lights. Oh, these are things that we've added. You know, we make a manger that is very beautiful. Jesus is in the manger where the shepherds should be. The angels go and announce the news to the shepherds in the field. And they tell them, today, in the town of David, a king has been, and he will be called Christ. And the news of his birth will be a joy to all the nations. And the Bible says now in verse 13 and 14 that suddenly the heavens opened and the shepherds were able to see worship happening in heaven. And the lyrics of the worship is verse 14, what they're actually singing. They are saying, glory to God in the highest and peace to those on whom his favor rests. The French version says, and peace to those that he accepts. Now, that's the text this morning. Three things that we can learn. Number one is that God is the master of history. Christmas tells us that God is the master of history. History, from the beginning to the end, is in the hand of God. God decided at a particular day, when so-and-so will be king, my son will be born. Now imagine, you are born after 9 months in the belly, okay? From conception to being a festive, to growing, after 9 months. So for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, when the census was happening, God had to calculate from the conception and say, okay, when 9 months will happen, where will they be at that time? Why is that significant? It is significant because in the Old Testament, if you read in the book of Micah, the Bible says that Jesus, the Messiah, will be born in Bethlehem. So it was a prophecy which was related to a location. If Jesus was born in Jerusalem, would they say, no? The Bible said he was going to be born where? In Bethlehem. So imagine, because God is the master of history, he had to shuffle things around, move people around, so that his prophecy can be accomplished and Jesus can be born in Bethlehem. Now, when Caesar Augustus was writing the decree saying people should go for a census, he did not know that God was using his order to move Joseph and Mary around so that they can be born in Jesus can be born in Bethlehem. When Joseph was moving, I'm sure Joseph did not even know the verse saying that, you know what, Mary, when you are about to have labor, we will go to Bethlehem so that that scripture can be accomplished. That was not Mary and Joseph's concern. But God, who is the master of history, had to shuffle things around. And that's our first encouragement. God is a master of history. Don't be afraid. If something has to happen, it will happen. And God will use even a presidential order. He will use, you know, a travel. He will use anything he can use to have his name exalted and to have his promise. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two here is the shepherds. The angels of all people decide to go and break the news to the shepherd. And there is a symbol there. Jesus, who will be the shepherds, he says, I am the good shepherd. He goes and announces to the shepherd that the master shepherd has been born. Leave everything you're doing, go and welcome the master shepherd. Hello. So when Jesus is born, the message of Christmas tells us he is the master shepherd. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me and I will shepherd you. And our last lesson is in the lyrics that the angels are singing. Glory to God in the highest and peace. Christmas is showing us the connection between praising God and peace in our hearts and peace in our world. When we praise God, we raise his name on high, we glorify him, he rewards us with peace. So if you have been worshiping and you don't have peace, you have not been worshiping. Because peace is a byproduct of worship and praise. Amen. I think that's very powerful. So if you want to have peace, what do? You praise, you worship, you glorify. That's how you have peace. Those are the three lessons that we can draw from our text this morning. First one is that God is the master of history. And Christmas shows us that very powerfully. Secondly, is that God, Jesus, is the master shepherd. And all of us are small shepherds, but he is the shepherd in chief. And thirdly, is that peace is a byproduct of worship. When we glorify God, glory to God in the higher, we have peace on earth. Let's clap to our God for the word.